You are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio. You're listening to Baseball Zealot Radio. My name is Tom Nelsop, and I'm coming at you from Urbana, Illinois. And we have Todd DeVentreska from Pittsburgh. Todd, how you doing?
Doing okay, Tom. How are you?
How's the weather out there? Is it cold there? Is it here?
Yeah, it warmed up a little today, but it's still cold. Got a dusting of snow.
Oh, I think we had a wind chill about minus 15 this morning. Oh, man, it was cold. But we were able to get out today for the Illinois women's basketball game. That was fun.
Oh, okay.
Well, they beat Northwestern. I'm sorry Chuck isn't online with us right now, because I would have had to.
Oh.
I'd be on space for that, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
What did you say you went and saw?
A women's basketball.
Oh, okay. I thought you said a one-eyed woman's basketball game.
Oh, you'd love to hear that.
Okay.
No, it was a lot of fun. Illini beat them handily. But it was nothing like the Illini hockey game on Friday. That's always a good time. As anyone who's a hockey fan knows, you come prepared for anything when you go to a hockey game. Unlike the person behind me who thought that the fans in the arena were being a little unsportsmanlike when we were talking nasty about the opposing team. I just turned around and I told him I thought that he might be watching the wrong sport. He thought that. So anyway, I think we can close the book on JD Drew now. I think the JD Drew watch is over. He finally signed with the Red Sox.
Yeah, I have to take down my flag now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. 7 weeks.
Is it 7 weeks now?
It only took them 7 weeks to get it done.
Oh, my gosh. And of course, I'm still not sure if the Sox...
I haven't seen any details.
No, I haven't either.
The stuff that was coming out over the last couple of weeks that it was going to be heavily weighted with incentive clauses.
Right.
Who knows?
Have they gotten any healthy product or... did they get someone who, could go south during the middle of the season? You don't know. It's what, a $70 million contract for, 5 years? Is that right?
5 and 70, yeah. But yeah. I don't know if that's, all salary now or if a lot of it's been converted to incentives or not. So.
Right. But
frankly,
that's
I'm caring. That's the Red Sox, and they have to live with it.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see how that works. I've never been a huge Drew fan, of course, but we'll see.
We won't talk about JD anymore until he goes on the disabled list. Okay?
Until he gets injured, right. Then we'll bring that back out. So I'm fresh off off the Cubs convention last week, and oh my gosh, was that something else? Anyone who wants to see a couple pictures, photos of that, just go to the baseballzealot.com blog. I've got more than a few photos of the. I got some write-ups about it, but boy, I tell you, that was something else. I got there Friday afternoon, and it was just like blue everywhere, including the carpeting, but. We got to see a lot of Cubs players, a lot of former Cub players.
Soriano there?
Soriano was there.
Did Floyd make it in time?
I don't think so. He wasn't signed quite yet.
I like that signing, by the way.
Do you?
Like
you're
that.
One of the
yes,
few people
I
that I talked to who do like it.
Well, that must mean it's going to work out then.
I don't know.
I like it. It must be good.
Yeah, I guess. I know. You're not necessarily a Cubs fan, so maybe that's not good for us. I don't know. But, Soriano got a huge round of applause from the Cubs fans at the convention. Right before the huge session where all the Cubs celebrities were going to speak, or at least 10. There was this big gauntlet that the everyone was going to go through, and of course here we are, you know, watching them go through, and, you know, a few of them would go through, and we'd all say, well, who was that? And who was that? Because we knew it was someone important. We, you know, some of us didn't know quite who it was. Mickey Morandini, okay, we knew who that was, or Doug DeCenzo, is that who that was? But, of course, you know, then the more important ones would come through, and Alfonso Soriano got the big hand, you know, here comes Lou Piniella, Lou, Lou, you know, just like the old days, they're not booing, they're saying Lou, Lou. Oh my God, he got the huge.
Or were they saying movers?
Yeah, but, yeah, where they are. But it was interesting. I mean, we have a Cub team who was last place and lost 96 games. And I heard some people who had gone to Cubs conventions in the past say that this is probably the highest morale and people were in the best mood, you know, than any Cubs convention in recent memory. And that, I'm sure, has a lot to do with the fact that Cubs management is spending money and, you know, a new manager and that kind of thing. So,
the issue with the Cubs wasn't that they didn't spend money. They spent the money. They just spent it questionably in the
questionably
past.
Questionably, or?
In my opinion.
Yeah.
This year, you know, they did get Soriano, but some of the money they spent on some of those pitchers, I still think it was questionable, and I still think that's going to be the issue with the Cubs this year.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, I'm ever hopeful, so, you know, we will see. But I got a few autographs, and I bought a couple caps, an Iowa Cubs cap, and a Peoria Chiefs cap, and I was promised press credentials if I ever went to a Peoria Chiefs game, and so, of course, you know who manages the Peoria Chiefs now? Ryan Sandberg. So,
right.
Yeah, that can be
Rhino.
Big, you know.
Yeah.
Mark Grace was a big celebrity at the convention because he had not been at a Cubs convention since 2001. So it was good to see him there.
So they buried the hatchet.
They buried the hatchet, and I think it was overall it was really good to be there. And it was good to be among Cubs fans, and that just was really happy.
Was Kerry Wood there?
Kerry Wood was there. Pretty much everyone was there except Jack Jones and among current Cubs. I can't think of any other current Cubs of note that were not there.
So Marquis and Lily were there?
Yeah. They were all there, yeah. So it was good. And like I said, again, if you want to see a write-up about it and some photos, just check out the blog. It's baseballzealots.com. And, you'll see some photos and some write-ups about it. So Todd. LaRoche has been signed by the Pirates, right?
Yeah, they picked him up for Mike Gonzalez.
Mike Gonzalez. And you foresaw this, like, what, 2-3 weeks ago, right?
Well, I mean, it's not like I've got a crystal ball. It's been a hot topic in Pittsburgh since the winter meetings back in December when they almost had the deal pulled, and then something happened, and eventually they came to an agreement. So it ended up being LaRoche and some minor league here for Mike Gonzalez in a minor league.
So what do you think about this deal?
I think it's a great trade. You do. It's probably one of the better trades that Littlefield has made.
Right.
Might be the only other one that might be better. The only other trade that he's made that we still have something to show for is the Brian Giles trade.
Right.
Which was a good move, you know.
So where is
we got Jason Bay out of that. But LaRoche, I think, at least is going to give some protection to Bay now.
Where does he fit in the lineup? Does he fit it right after Bay?
I think he's going to hit, might be hitting fifth.
Okay.
They might have Sanchez third, Bay fourth, and LaRoche fifth.
Right.
That's the way I think it's projected right now. And not only that, he can field the ball with first base pretty good, too. So.
And you don't feel you're going to miss Gonzalez at all?
I don't think they'll miss Mike Gonzalez. And as I said before, he was a a pretty good closer on a team that won 70 games, so what good was he? Right. I mean, he really didn't have a lot of value to the Pirates except for trade abilities. Unless you're scoring runs, you don't need a closer. So maybe now they won't need a closer as often, and I think Solomon Torres, Matt Capps, anybody there is more than capable of coming in and pitching an inning to get the ball game won. So
good.
So we'll see what happens.
We have Chuck Lucas on the line now.
Well, hello.
Chuck,
how you doing, guys?
I'm glad you came back because we're gonna talk about Dan Ernst's dad now. And you're a diehard Sox fan, and you're just the guy to talk about this. I think we, a bunch of us, have been, discussing this, deal, and I don't think we're all in agreement on whether or not this would be good for the Sox, but maybe you can shed some light on what you're feeling on the whole, Ernst dad deal is.
Well, I'll be glad to do that, and, as you know, I am an opinionated guy, so I do have an opinion on the LaRoche deal as well, but, you tell me which way to go. I can comment on the Ernstead deal.
Okay.
We'll finish up with LaRoche.
Finish up on LaRoche.
Well, right, before we go to that, my opinion on LaRoche is, I do think the Pirates put one over on the Braves. The Braves are looking to hand the job to, is it Thorman, I guess? Scott Thorman, who's certainly unproven. LaRoche had a fine year, good year with the glove. You know, I'm quoting off of the USA Today, I don't know, what do they call these days? Is it the NASCAR Weekly, the Football Weekly, Baseball Weekly, whatever it is. They say, their headline here is Braves deal 32 homers for perfection. Well, I guess this particular article is making a big deal with that Gonzalez was, I think he was 24 for 24, didn't blow a save chance.
Okay,
well,
all right.
No, but he, yeah, okay.
That's what they're saying. But yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know if that, you guys put much,
Where is Atlanta right now in terms of its bullpen without Gonzalez?
I guess it's still Wickman and Gonzalez is there, plan B or plan double A or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But I think maybe that, you know, maybe they know more than us in the sense that, well, we've all kind of all come to the conclusion, I think, that first baseman our diamond doesn't, but.
Right.
That's been the general consensus.
Except for
Pittsburgh. Yeah, except for Pittsburgh, right.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I mean,
that Porsche.
I mean,
if they don't make that trade,
Pittsburgh does not, you know, is not making full value of Gonzalez right now, and obviously Wood with LaRoche. So, you know,
my point is that the Pirates, if they don't make that trade, going into the season, they had Xavier Nady and Ryan Dolman set the
right
at first base.
Yeah, but I guess Xavier's still going off the right field.
For me, Nady will be out right field.
Nady, I'm sorry, yeah, Xavier, they still like Nady for
yeah, Nady will be in right
known,
field.
For reasons known only to the Pirates.
He played pretty good when he came over here. Well, Nady played pretty good last year for the Pirates when he came over. Yes, he did.
I liked him at one point in my, you know, prospecting days. I think I liked him, but I don't know.
The interesting story about Nady is that when the Pirates were shopping Giles at the Padres, one of the hang-ups on the deal was that the Pirates' Littlefield was insisting on Nady. He was insisting that that's who they wanted. And that was the key to the deal. While the Padres balked and balked and balked at the deal, finally they threw in this guy named Bay. And, you know.
Right.
Littlefield, you know, fell into that one.
Yeah,
and now he got Nady anyway.
I know you probably covered this in another topic. You're not a big fan of Littlefield, I guess, right?
Well, no, I'm not. But I don't know if it's all his fault. Because his hands are tied.
Well, true. There's always
financially.
That, yeah.
So, I mean, he's the guy that's put in the position to dump the salary, and he's the one that looks bad.
I just read today, here I go all over the board, but is it the Loria, the owner of the Marlins?
Right.
Woohoo, we open up a checkbook, and now they are approved for a $25 million budget.
Oh, yeah.
Well, seven.
Wow. A whole $25 million.
Yeah. Yeah, that. Have fun with it. Go wherever you get. Go wild. Go wild, boys. I don't know who their GM is these days, but have a great time. The extra yeah. $10 million. That'll go far. It'll probably spent by February 15th. But De La Rocha,
yeah,
I thought that was...
Go ahead.
I just said that for my thought, I thought the Pirates did make a good deal picking
right
up La Rocha. And I think these days, I think the popular theory is that the closers are a dime a dozen. I don't know if that's the correct theory. It just seems like they've gone full circle.
I'm getting that sense, too, and I agree. I don't know if it's the correct theory, but But it's almost like a fantasy league where you can get a good closer in late in the draft. Why not focus on other more pressing issues when you can get a good closer, for, like you say, a dime a dozen, that kind of thing.
Probably the good closers are available, but the great closers are not. Maybe
exactly.
That's the way to say it.
Exactly.
And who is great other than Rivera and perhaps Hoffman and I don't know.
Billy Wagner.
Yeah.
What else
is
out there?
Yeah, right. After that tier, it's definitely the bargain.
They go up and down.
Yeah, right. Second tier. I read some more where Cleveland's thinks they have their closer situation solved because they have Keith Folk and I forgot who the other guy is. They expect to close. I was thinking, glad they think that. But
right.
Anyway,
well, very few of these guys have any longevity of success. You know, that's probably a bad thing to say.
More
consistent. No, true. That's true.
You know what I mean? They have a couple good years, and then they're either hurt or they're getting hit around. Keith Folk, perfect example.
Right.
Had two pretty lights out years for the Sox, and then he start getting hit around. You know, they start catching up onto the changeup. You know, I mean, you look at Rivera,
look at
Wagner, those guys, and Trevor Hoffman. I mean, year in and year out, they're consistent and they're getting it done, and their numbers are the same every
right.
year. But most of everybody else, you know, they have their couple good years, or then they get hurt, or their flash is in the pan.
Yeah. Well, it's either a big vote of confidence for Scott Thorman or a real big one for Gonzalez. I don't know which, but I think the Pirates get the guy they want. What our buddy Teddy Ballgame's telling us is that short porch. Well, you know it too to be true. Also, they got a nice short porch in right field to the Buccos. So
it's all relative. You still got to hit the ball,
yeah,
and you still got to get it there. So the wall's 21 feet high, so that takes away some of the advantage.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what
to
Chuck. To Chuck, you're a Sox fan. How do you feel about the Darren Erstad deal?
I'll just reiterate some of the feelings. I know I've posted or sent emails about it. My feeling is if the Sox got him to back up a little outfield and play first and, you know, get a couple hundred bats a la a Ross Gloed,
right,
then I love the deal a lot. If we're expecting him to step into the center field, then, you know what, I think I'd rather wait for the development of Brian Anderson, shockingly enough. Brian Anderson wasn't the reason the Sox didn't make the playoffs last year. It was our relief pitching and starters that really the reason we weren't
pitching
in
general.
Sure.
Yeah, general pitching. It wasn't Brian Anderson who, I guess, at 263 from like June 10th on, which ain't bad for a rookie and a little bit pop. You know, I go back to 2005, he had two home runs against Felix Hernandez, one game late season against Seattle. So to have the focus spotlight on Brian Anderson is, I don't know, it's a little bit, concerning to me, but no, I mean, he's a veteran presence. Teams throughout history have picked up a really good veteran player to augment, you know, not to put the focus on him, but to augment their team. So if that's the focus, if that's how they got him, then yeah, I like it a lot, because he's a good defensive player. And arguably, with him out there, if he comes in late for Scotty Pods, for example, with him, Anderson, and Dye out there, you've got, I would argue, if not the best defensive outfield in the majors, certainly in the top five on the team picture.
Sure.
Chuck, amazingly, I agree with you on this as well.
I feel
the same way about this deal. I don't think Erstad is the answer every day out there. I, like you, would also like to see them continue Anderson's development. I thought he showed a lot of promise the second half last year. And he did start to make adjustments in his swing. People thought he played outfield a little bit lazily at times and lackadaisical, but I think, you know, I think that maybe just being young in that, but I think he's a good center fielder. And again, I think the main deal is that Podsednik's hurt, right? There's questions about Podsednik,
right.
And I think that's why they went ahead and did this. And I think the other good thing is, I mean, they signed him at what today is a bargain price, $1 million for one
year,
right? So, I mean, for that alone, I mean, Kenny Williams deserves credit for the signing for that. But I don't think Erstad is the answer every day. I really don't think so.
We're agreeing way too much. Yeah. We're going to have some controversy here.
I was going to say.
Eventually, I could get you to come around to my way of thinking.
Is that what it is?
About 10 years, but I think it's finally starting to work.
I know eventually if I didn't mention Bill Mazeroski, we could come to an agreement. Nope, I just did it. But anyway, that was me. The second year of that deal, that, I guess they actually have an option, but it escalates. I thought I heard it was like $7 million or something. It escalates in a hurry, so you understand.
It's a 2-year deal or a deal?
Well, it's like a 1-year option. I think it's, it's our option, but I'm not sure our being, right. I shouldn't say our because I don't work for the Sox, nor am I employed by the Sox. But it's the Sox option, I believe, for a second year.
Right.
For $7 or $8 million or something like that. That certainly escalates a lot either. Verstappen has a great deal of faith in himself, but it sounds like so.
I think he's got a 1-year stay in Chicago. If he's got a team option at $7 or $8 million next year, I don't see it being exercised.
I thought it was significantly more, obviously, than what he had right now. But then, who's to say if he had somehow was able to replicate his 2000 year where he had everybody drooling, he had about 350.
355, 25 homers. Yeah. He's hit 37 homers the next 6 seasons. He's hit,
combined, right?
I don't even know if he's hitting the 290 since then or not.
I don't think he has. He's like a 286.
That was his only 300 season, by the way.
Yeah. It's kind of like the normal
game. I hit the 290s once. Another time he was in the mid 290s. But yeah, he's like 280 something for his career.
It's like the Norm Cash, except for the 360 home runs. But Cash had a great year in '61, where he had a 361, and then
it wasn't for Maris, right?
he
had a shot at Triple Crowns, except for Maris. Yeah.
It's interesting to see a guy that he didn't just eke over to 300, and nor did Erstedt. You know, they just
sort past,
blew past that 300. Yeah, it was insane. But again, I don't know. The signing was trumpeted here in Chicago. You know. Of course, was overshadowed by, well, I don't know if it was overshadowed by the Cliff Floyd signing. Maybe we can even segue over there, but that happened about the same day. I think, I'm thinking it's more significant signing than the overall terms of things. Maybe I'm off base here.
Well, the Cubs signed Floyd to be an everyday player.
You
don't think?
In the heart of March today? Just like they signed Mark Carter to be an everyday player, but I'm sorry.
I don't know. At this point, I think that's still up in the air. I mean, he could be a bench player, pinch hitter, that kind of thing, too.
So they signed Darryl Ward, did I miss that, or that was official, or were they only rumored to sign Darryl Ward?
That is an official deal, yeah.
It was, okay.
The Cubs signed Darryl Ward, too.
Yeah.
Where is he going to
be? He'll be a backup for Lee.
I think he only had about 100.
And he'll play a little bit of outfield, probably, too.
Well, then why, if they signed Ward and Floyd, I'm confused.
Ward is strictly a
join the club here, Ty.
I didn't hear about the Ward signing.
That was a while ago. I never
heard that one. I think that's the only guy that Carnarco can beat in a race. He is without a doubt the slowest guy I've ever seen. Darryl Ward. I remember when he was with the Astros. Yeah. No, Darryl Ward. When he was with the Astros, I was watching a game. He hit about a 3-hopper to the shortstop. Was a man up first. They turned, they turned a double play. When they threw the first, Ward wasn't even in the picture.
Oh, God.
You guys are running off the field in the dugout, and then you see Ward. It's like the old horse races. Here he comes across the bag there. As they're going to commercial.
Paul Konerko and Benny Molina, who wins that race? Benji Molina, who wins that race? Him and Konerko. I get to give... But not again the Konerko, so there's at least two races I think he can win. I don't know. It's just me, but that would be an interesting one too. You know?
Yeah, right.
Before we take a break here, two major players in the history of baseball died. Vern Rule passed away of cancer last week. What do you remember of Vern Rule, Chuck?
Well, it's personal memory. It goes back to the old APA team. I hate to throw the old, the original dice baseball in, but he was in my original rotation. Don't know why I picked him way back 30 years ago, a crafty veteran. And, I know he's done some good work with the pitching staffs. I'm trying to remember now. He went to Houston after Detroit started with Detroit, went to Houston.
He went to the playoffs with Houston.
that the 1980?
Yeah. Yeah, he was with Necro and J.R. Richard. Right. Yeah.
Pretty good year. Over the rotation spot when J.R. Richard went down.
They had the stroke in 80.
Stroke.
Ironic, a lot of people think that J.R. has passed, but obviously he hasn't.
Yeah, no.
So the other two people from that rotation have, unfortunately, and left us too soon. So.
And the other is Bane Devine.
Both this year.
Bane
Devine is great GM.
Yeah, great GM for a lot of years. For the Cardinals.
He had a couple
of Mets later,
three,
too, wasn't it?
But three World Series champions.
Right. He was actually the one who made the deal for Floyd for the
Kurt Flood. Yeah, Phillies. Did he pull off the Brockium?
Yeah, he did.
I wasn't gonna bring that up. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
No, he actually did that.
Fans have a lot of that stuff ever. They only remember the Flood deal.
Memories. No, he actually was the one that made the Brock Bolio trade, and
he was fired that same year, if I'm not mistaken. I think before they won it that year? It was the year. Ring bells with everybody?
So, we're going to take a break right now. So, before we go, we're going to give out our feedback email address. Our email address is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. You can email us with any comments you have for the show. We'll be back.
Well, Chase Utley signed a big, huge deal the other day. What are your thoughts on that, Chuck? 7 years?
Well deserved. Probably the greatest second baseman of our generation. I don't know. The dollars were about, what was the dollars again? Like $85
million for 7 years, is that right?
Yeah, 7 years, 84, 85 million, something like that, right?
Nice payday. I don't know where to put him anymore, but at the moment, again, I was joking, but I'm probably correct, at least the most established second baseman in his prime. So I don't know if you just set the market value at 12 to 13 million a year on it. It's improved each of the last 3 years, so he's not quite getting his due with the glove yet. I think he's coming along a little bit defensively, so.
This is his third year, right?
He's played
this will be his third full-time full year.
Yeah, it'll be his fourth season. His rookie year.
Chuck, I remember you talking to me, I guess it was beginning of last year.
And
you were talking him up like no one's business. And I think that and you were saying that he was going to be like next, next Robbie Almar or whatever. And I didn't doubt you or anything like that, but boy, this really does, vindicate you that, maybe you were right. I don't know.
Yeah, more importantly, my son's got a signed baseball from him. So,
there we go.
Which you won't give me, by the way, and I'm a big Chase guy. Sounds like they're lining up, I don't know. I read another publication where the Phillies, most of the players were speaking pretty highly about Charlie Manuel.
Right.
And, there's a guy that doesn't get too much credit. I think he had pretty good managerial numbers, if you will, with Cleveland. Was he with Cleveland for? I'm forgetting my training annual.
Yeah, he
had some of those classic Cleveland.
I think
the
problem up there, he had some health issues up there and that.
He did.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Old Twins guy that he was, but, I guess the players really like him. I don't know if that means anything anymore these days, but, they like him. But, it's always a risk when you throw that type of dollars out there.
Right.
But,
it's long term.
It was a long term, though.
These days, it gets teams in trouble sometimes. But he's young enough and he's a second baseman. I think he'll be fine,
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens there. I don't know if that's, second baseman, I can't really think of anybody to compare him to in terms of, dollars. I don't know when's the last, maybe Jeff Kent, but he certainly wasn't at the same stage. His career but I don't know what kind of dollars he got from his last contract.
Ken bounced around a couple teams before he finally.
He did, yeah.
Still, he still came up to Toronto and went to the Mets and then finally kind of hit a stride with Cleveland, right?
Well, Cleveland and then he was with Cleveland or with Toronto and
He came up with Toronto, I believe. Then,
but I'm just trying to compare it to some free agent deal. I think he was probably the last big second baseman free agent that signed. I don't know what he got. But yeah. I'm saying not really comparing because he's probably 38. I'm 40 now.
He's no Ray Gorm, but, you know.
No, few people are. Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray.
Look back very fondly on, now I'm not forgetting, was Sugar Ray part of the, did he go to the Giants? He wasn't part of that, Jerry Reinsdorf midnight.
No, White Sox traded him to Oakland. White Sox traded Ray Gorm to Oakland.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. And I'm a Sox fan, I know, but, you know, there's a lot of players flying around. But, yeah, he's well received at San Fran.
Yep.
But no.
Well, good luck, Chase. Just got married. He's going to need that money.
That's right. But what did you say? You hope he didn't sign a prenup? Or
no, I said I hope he did. I hope he did sign a prenup.
For her sake, you hope. Yeah, right.
For his sake, I hope he signed the prenup.
For his sake, you hope he did. For hers, you hope he did. Okay. Something like that. He seems like he's got what his presence is in Philadelphia, but he seems like he's one of the good guys, but who knows? You know?
He'll be.
And the good guys are defined, real simply. If you sign for my kid 10 minutes before an exhibition game, you're considered to be a good guy.
You've got fans for life.
That's it, pretty much. Right. You know?
Now, how about the other big rumor now this week with Todd Helton going to the Red Sox?
That was kind of interesting. My first reaction was, I don't know what yours was, my first reaction was, why? But maybe I'm being too harsh on Mr. Helton.
You mean why would he want to go there, or why would
why are they interested in him with his numbers falling off the table over the last 3 years?
Yeah, they haven't fallen off a little bit.
Well, of course, he said he didn't do steroids, so we have to believe him.
Are you saying that?
No, I don't want to talk about steroids. No, I don't want to talk about it because, like I said, pretty much everybody did it, and so I think we just need to move on, and everybody needs to come to grips with that.
Okay, you just tell the rest of the media that time.
I will.
He's bulking up. I hear, no pun intended, but I hear Helton is bulking up down in Knoxville.
When he played the second half last year, he did kind of turn it around. I mean, he did start getting a stroke back and start playing a little bit better.
His power numbers were non-existent, though, if I'm not mistaken. So,
they've
been falling off in playing in Colorado. That's probably
started to put in another thing. I mean, it's not just his all power numbers in Colorado have been falling off since they start. He came back and he finished up over 300 last year. His on base.
Did he actually hit 300 last year?
Yes, he did. He did
just not a whole lot of power, right?
Up with only 15 homers, but he did hit 40 doubles.
Other player, you think this is a decent player, right? But when you compare it to Helton, when you say it's Helton, that's a different story.
Yeah, and he was hurt some last year too.
So
the last 2 years he's been hurt.
So. Right.
His power number. You can't even go. I can't even go there where his power numbers have been, huh? Because of your steroid comment, not even implying, but. I can't even go there. I just think his power numbers, for whatever reason, have fallen off the table. But you know what? The I wanted to get back to your humidor comment, Todd, because the numbers haven't supported what they're doing to the baseballs. I think they're still one of the top three hitting parks in baseball. So that one doesn't
hitting. Yeah, what do you mean by hitting power? They're going to go out anyway. I mean, they're mile high. The balls are going to travel.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So whatever they did, it hasn't really diminished. Maybe it's calmed down some of the insane numbers, although.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But
Matt Holliday and some of those guys might point to
Garrett Atkins, those guys are
they kind of point differently, you know. And even, didn't Matsui kind of hit pretty good when he went there? Not the stratospheric numbers, but when he came over from the Mets, I think he played pretty good at second. But I think, if they're talking, to me, I look at Helton's salary, which I think is about a 15 mil deal, so sounds like Colorado's dumping salary. The rumor was like for Mike Lowell. I didn't hear any other bodies, but that's the one. It was like Lowell for Helton. Is that what you heard, Todd?
I haven't heard. All I heard, there was a deal. I haven't seen any particulars mentioned at all.
I heard Mike Lowell yesterday when I was driving. I couldn't tell you where I heard it, but Mike Lowell was what was mentioned in the first rumor. So.
Huh.
And I guess Euclid would. I'm just trying to put do stuff.
November 3rd, or
I guess, right? Do they have another?
Yeah, I guess what I'm seeing now is they're talking about Craig Hansen or Manny Del Carmen, whatever. It is.
Oh, going over to
Colorado. Yeah.
Then I kind of like that deal for Colorado. If they get Del Carmen and they get Mike Lowell, I like it for Colorado.
Well, no, they're not talking about Lowell. They're just talking about
One or one of the two. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I was surprised to read too, and I don't know if you guys caught this.
And it said they may try to move Lowell as part of the deal. Yeah, they might try to. They're also talking to the Padres about Scott Linebrink for Lowell. So
okay.
Oh yeah.
Well, Speaking of the Padres, I heard they've made an offer to David Wells. You could never stay retired. Who's got more retirements? Is it David Wells or Roger Clemens? That's the issue. I don't know. who would be?
Clemens didn't say he retired this time, though.
Yeah.
He didn't say it this time.
He's not pretending anymore.
I saw him the other day, and he said, you know, he's down in Florida working out, and he says, we'll see what happens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
He said, we'll see what happens come May, if the phone rings or not. So all he wants to do is play another half a year.
I saw an ugly stat about his kid. Is it Kobe that was signed by the Astros? He had under 200 with more strikeouts than he did games. It was
a good debut
for Kobe, but hopefully
Cody.
Cody, I'm sorry. There's a Kobe though too, but it might, right?
Yeah, it plays for the Raptors.
No, there's a Kobe. I think there's a Kobe Clemens.
Is that why Clemens has to play half a year? He spent the other half a year working with his kids?
Yeah.
Trying to get on the major.
Could be. Could have signed deal. Well, it was probably worth it to the Astros alone. Well, I don't know if it was worth it for the one night, because what did they draw when he went down to, was it Round Rock he played at?
Right.
With his son? I don't know. Or was it up? No, it was a
good one. I don't know. I hope the Astros should have really, maybe if they had it for the whole year, they could have gotten it. You know, they only missed by a game.
Right.
So, maybe they had him for that whole year.
True, but maybe not because of that, his tendency to fade, too. I think that was part of the whole blueprint there, to just have him be strong in case they do make the playoffs. The freshman playoffs, unlike his last two playoff appearances, not appearances, but his last two playoff years, which were not too good. Which I think still his last, what is his game? One,
but that's his whole career, though. It's not just recent. His whole career, his postseason, has been a little lackluster, right?
Really? I don't know if that's true, but maybe. Well, I don't know. I thought he had some
good, I mean, he got the one World Series with the Yanks, but, I mean, that was it. They didn't win any other time he was with them. I don't know. And I know his earlier years with the Red Sox, he had issues. Remember one game he got tossed by Terry Cooney? Early in the game, he was getting lit up, and he started complaining, and he got dumped.
It was a very good memory.
That, yeah.
Good memory. Yeah, I was kind of incensed. He was
saying
a bad word.
Yeah. He got what he deserved.
No, I know.
See, that's spoken like an umpire. I take the fans' approach. I don't. You got to be pretty obnoxious to get kicked from a playoff game. I don't want to.
Oh, well, he pretty much was.
Now we're going to disagree. Here we go, Todd. Because I don't pay, even though I wasn't at that game paying my money, but I don't pay to see umpires out. They should be in the background as much as possible. And
That's right. Unless they're front, the forefront by the players.
Right here.
I'm segueing here. Did you guys see, my son's got the ESPN year in sports that he got from his sister.
And before you segue, I just want to tell you, Roger was 12-8 in his career. So.
12-8 in the postseason?
Yeah, so I take it back.
That's not bad. I mean,
3.66 ERA, 3-0 in the World Series.
Okay. Well, but now that you got me on the umpire tangent, was it Nichols was a minor league manager that kind of went off? Did you guys ever see that?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
A guy by the name of Nichols. I forgot where he managed that. He kind of went off, and he was kneeling down in a minor league game last year. Did you guys see clip at all?
Yeah.
And he took second base and he flung it. And
right.
And I was.
I have a video of that.
Yeah. But I just watched it this morning. My son had it, and I was struck by the fact that, you know, this is what an umpire, in my mind, should do. The guy just stood there, watched the manager go crazy, rant and rave. Of course, he was kicked out of the game. Then he just kind of walked away. But that is the traditional umpire that I grew up watching, where the focus isn't on the ump. But now,
right.
I see too much.
Well,
I don't know if you agree with that. I see these umps like challenging the guys at every turn. It's like
I disagree with that.
Yeah, no, I knew I'd get you. I'd get you.
I'm sorry. I'm just telling you what I see and how I see.
Oh, I don't. I think the umps are
way
more.
So.
But I don't. Doesn't matter what happened. I believe the umpire. Sorry, it's not my chosen profession, and I wouldn't wish it. But
they don't.
They got to take a lot of crap. They are supposed to take crap and walk away. That's what they engage.
Until they're brought into it by the player or the manager or the coach.
But what do you think 40 years ago? You just walk away like you're supposed to do. You know, if you're a confident person, hey, it's not about me next time. You know, you might remember that. You might remember that next time there's a call, but you know what? Right now, I don't want to see an umpire getting in the face of the manager and the player. I really don't.
Hey, usually they don't, Chuck. You know,
I think
they usually
times,
are trying to avoid the confrontation. Unless the manager just comes out and charges them and gets right into their face, then, I mean, what's he supposed to do? He's got to defend himself.
I was struck by this Nichols because, you know what, it just looked like he was the idiot. I think the umpire was
a
genius.
I know exactly what you're talking about, Chuck.
The umpire was a genius, but I think these guys too often, I see these guys going jaw to jaw at the drop of a hat.
Usually not at a drop of a hat.
Well, but what does it matter if it's a different
stuff? Well, whatever. We could debate this all day.
All right. I didn't want to disagree with you. But anyway.
I know what situation you're talking about, Chuck.
Well,
it seemed to me that the Nichols guy, he had that whole shtick planned.
Possibly,
when he woke up that morning, he had to. went on for what, 4 minutes?
Yeah.
He must have had that plan. I mean,
trying to fire up the team.
When the situation presented itself, the manager did, and it was all for the cameras, and it was all for the press, and sure it wasn't, you know, off the cuff, and you know, something that was just thought of on top, you know, right off the top of his head, I'm sure.
Well, the other thing too about that umpire, they were a replacement umpire, because minor league umpires were on strike most of the year last year. So he was a replacement umpire as well.
What do you think of my theory though, Tom? I know Todd disagrees, but do you think?
I don't know if I agree with your assessment that a lot of umpires are that way, but I do agree that umpires should be that way. They should be, they should handle situations okay, this is the law, boom, I'm done, and I'm out of here.
You know what?
I'm not going to engage.
I say compared to 20 years ago, they're trying to be more of the show than of the background.
I totally disagree.
Chuck, I think it's
how many major league baseball games are played a year? So you see these guys on there. You might see about three or four of these confrontations
you're talking about
a year.
I'm not talking about this big one. I'm not talking about this big one. I'm just talking about the little one where you see,
if this does happen.
But they're being showed up first.
Yeah, if you see this happen, Chuck, right, in today's society, you're more apt to see it on TV or hear about it on the radio as opposed to 20 years ago.
That's perhaps true that maybe...
I mean, you can hear about, you know, when else that getting upset with, you know, Lopez or whatever. But, you know, 20 years ago, I don't think it's going to be put on YouTube or anything like that. You're not going to hear about it on a podcast. You're not going to be... There were only a few mediums that you're going to be able to, like, put it on, now, where you're going to be, it's going to put on YouTube, you can hear about it on a podcast, you can put it on the news, and a newspaper, all these different ways you can hear about it, as opposed to 20 years ago.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think the umpires take more crap, less crap, same crap than they did 20 years ago?
Honestly, I think they're taking more.
I don't know.
You say they take more, I say they take less. And what do you
think? I think they're taking more, because I tell you what, I think today, more, and what happens is I think more of the crap that goes on with umpires is that I think the players and coaches are getting more personal.
I think they do
towards
take,
the umpires
take more crap,
than they were
yes.
in the past.
Whether
but once you get
respond,
personal, then that's where the problem comes in. That's where the problem is. I could have a guy come up to me and tell me I made a bullcrap call and I made a bullcrap this or this and that. But if he comes up and he starts telling me that I'm bullcrap and that I'm this, and I'm, well, then it's totally
different. Well, we know that's true.
Now he's talking to me, well, whatever. But now he's attacking me personally. I mean, well, that's totally different. That's totally different. And I don't have to put up with that.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, can I just say that Todd V is a licensed umpire in the state of Pennsylvania? That's all. I'm just saying. All right. So.
But I'm just saying.
Objectivity's out the window, my friend. That's all. All right. I'm gonna keep note. That'll be my personal mission this season. I'm gonna keep track of times. And then I'd like your comment.
You
on
could say I'm not
times.
Objective, but I can also say that unless you've worked the other side, then.
Right. I mean, you're.
I make that argument. Well.
No one is objective. I mean, if you look at it that way. If you're a fan that goes to White Sox games, that makes you, unobjective as well, so.
It does make me very impartial. Hey, I did have one. You're switching back to baseball.
Chuck, Ozzie's not a little saint sitting on that bench. And you know it as well as I do.
the classic bench jacking like 50 years ago. I think it doesn't go on as much. I think it does.
You go to a game, sit and watch Ozzie. Just go to a game where you can watch Ozzie. And you
where
sit there. Bring binoculars.
The
you don't know. You sit there and watch him. Okay? And you listen to their announcers on TV. The White Sox announcers, Hawk Harrelson. I mean, they're the worst. The White Sox didn't lose a game last year that they lost themselves. It was always the umpire. Oh, he's squeezing us tonight there, DJ. What are we going to do now? Oh, my God. You know, we got a 4-inch strike zone tonight, and they're giving Radke a, 25 feet there. What are we going to do?
It's unbelievable. Radke gets too much. That's a good thing he's retired now. Hey, you guys see the Yankees sign?
They put too much emphasis on that. And, let the guys play. The games are won and lost by the players.
Did you guys see the Yankees sign Doug Minkiewicz? I thought that was interesting.
I think they signed him just so that he could give them the Red Sox World Series ball and just stick it to the
Maybe. Maybe. Or maybe it's like a good luck charm. Maybe they can wave it in the Red Sox face every time they come to town.
Right.
You play 18 games a year, and it's going to be.
We got your ball.
So they never did get it back from him, huh?
Yeah, they came to an agreement.
They did.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Chuck, switching gears a little bit here, you're a Notre Dame fan, right?
Yes, I am.
What do you know, Jeff Samardzija? Wide receiver for the football team.
And pitcher.
Yeah. He's not playing anymore. He's not playing. He's not
five
well, you know what? You know what I do say about that? I do say about that is buyouts have been known to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he will do it.
Call the
there
airline,
has been,
right?
You know, I think just like who was my favorite baseball player turned football player, Josh Booty, when he played for the Kane County Cougars about 12 years ago. Yeah. Josh Booty, whose brother is now the USC quarterback, as you guys know.
That was announced during the Cubs convention when I was up there. That was the big news they were talking about on Saturday. That he had supposedly had decided that football was not for him, and he was a lifelong baseball player, and the Cubs had him.
Paul Savarge, I think you're talking about the Josh Booty. How did Josh Booty's name come up with the Cubs convention? Checked out his contract. He did say, I love baseball, blah, 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 blah.
He said he is not playing football. He did say.
No, he is not playing football.
You put any stock in, no offense to finding Jeff Samardzija, but you put much stock in what athletes or coaches say these days. I mean, could I see him ever going back to football? Sure.
I think his commitment is to baseball. I think he's going to fulfill that obligation.
Oh, I think it's serious.
If it doesn't pan out, he can pull a Chad Hermanson.
Right. If ERA is about 4.7, then.
Right.
But he's a pretty good, we'll see. We'll see how it works. I think he gave up a lot of money. I think he could have got more money playing football.
I think so too.
He was projected as a.
Or he could have.
Five
he,
first
he
round.
He could have a lot
right?
of money, short term, I think.
Right.
Long term.
if he plays 15 years in the majors or minors in the majors, yeah, he's right. pretty well set that way too.
No, yeah, exactly. I'm talking about
Now the question is,
I think he was projected as the first round pick, wasn't he?
I know this is baseball as well at radio, but where do you think he'll? I'm sure someone will take a flyer on him in the NFL draft. Where do you think he would?
Oh,
wind
just
up?
Just in case, you mean?
Yeah, somebody will draft him. Don't you think that?
No.
You think not? Okay, well, we'll have a gentleman's bet on there.
Chuck, he was pretty good. I mean,
I'm gonna say somebody's gonna pick him. I say he will be picked in the NFL draft. That'll be worth
on the last day.
All right.
Is that legal?
Day two of the draft.
Can we bet beers over Zealot Radio?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I predict he will.
As long as I win.
Chuck, you're thinking like on day two somebody might take
Yeah. So he will be drafted in the NFL. I predict. You still not agree with that or not?
He had like broken some receiving records, right?
Oh, I'm telling you, I think the guy would have been a first round pick, no?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think he would.
He was projected as a first rounder.
They had him like the third best wideout in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, he's.
And I hear his exploits daily because I work with one of the general counsel for our company is Serbian. So is Jeff Samardzija. So he always comes downstairs and says, look what the Serbian did today. He did this. So, but, you know, he made a wise choice. He made a wise choice when I saw him last week. But I think he'll be picked in the NFL draft. Whether he ever winds up playing football will be based upon how his career projects. Is he supposed to be in A ball again this year, Tom, you know, or is it double A? Or,
I'm sure he'll
be. I don't know, Chuck. I don't see any.
Boy.
Yeah, I'll take you up on that bet. I'll bet you.
Okay. All right. Here for that one. The only thing I know, we went to the, actually, it's funny you say that though, Tom, you asked me the question about Notre Dame. We went to the blue and gold game, which is the inter-squad game last year.
Right.
My son and I went down there on Saturday. Excuse me. So Marja played. I think he caught seven passes.
Hey,
he said the night before he pitched a shutout.
Wow.
So he just, pretty good athlete. That's one thing for sure. So.
Nice out.
Yeah. Chad Hermanson. There's a name out there. Who did you say before?
Chad Hermanson.
Yeah.
Pitched for the Cardinals and then with Bears quarterback. Chad Hutchinson.
Chad Hermanson was the prospect for the Pirates for a while. I really liked it.
Yeah.
What happened to him? Chad Hutchinson anymore? Yeah.
No. Adam Hines keeps making appearances. He came up last year somewhere. That guy's got to be 35 years old.
Oh, Hines, you know who's in that category? The camp too, Ted, is Curtis Pride. Curtis Pride is 39. Okay. He played about 29 at bats last year for the Angels, I think. Curtis Pride is, I could see if he was like a left-handed pitcher or a backup catcher, but usually those outfielders don't keep coming back at 39 for like a cup of coffee.
No. Well, he can't, I mean, this is probably a bad joke, but he is deaf and he probably can't hear anybody tell him that you're done. He just keeps trying.
He just keeps trying.
Right?
All right, we'll give him 29 at bats. Go back. We'll give him 29. No more than 30. Yeah, he's had like, I want to say he's had a string of, maybe I'm wrong, 3-4 years where he's just had just a scattering of at bats.
Who was the, I think it was an outfielder who was both deaf and dumb.
At play Dummy Hoy.
Dummy Hoy. Very good, Chuck.
Hoy Ahoy or something like that. Yeah,
William Dummy Hoy.
Well, credited, the umpire's signs were credited. He was credited with, what am I trying to say?
Making the umpires do visual signals?
Yes. I believe that was what he's credited with. You know? What can I tell you? You know? Yeah, you never know. You never know what you're going to get on Baseball Zealot Radio. That's the beauty of your form.
Could you imagine a guy today coming up with those physical ailments and being called dummy?
Bill James talks about that in the Baseball Historical Abstract. And he said that, you know, that exactly that. Which, can you imagine someone actually being called dummy in today's society?
Good point.
And back then, he sort of advocates for, they were just basically calling him what he was. And there was no judgment or anything like that applied to it. It was just, hey, it wasn't anything.
Different times.
He was just, hey, they were more acknowledging the fact that he was.
Oh, today you probably wouldn't even be allowed to say, in referring to
a mute or whatever.
Yeah, you probably couldn't even call him a mute.
You'd
probably have to say he's verbally challenged.
He said dumb.
Yeah, you'd have to say he was hearing impaired and vocally challenged.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's getting very hard.
Just a dummy to call you.
It's getting very hard these days, I'll tell you, sometimes.
Right.
Let me see that. Yeah, I forgot about Chris, but he, Let's see. I guess I was speaking accurately. Listen to the last 4 years. He's had 12 at-bats for the Yankees, 40 at-bats for the Angels, 11 at-bats. This is in 2005 for the Angels, and 27 at-bats for the Angels last year.
Yeah.
He's played in the majors the last 6 years, and he has not had over 100 at-bats. He's not had over 100 at-bats. So,
yeah.
I don't, it's really big, and he's 39. I don't know. It's a very interesting profile. I don't know. To me, anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know why he keeps turning up, but maybe you're
some
right.
Some guys just keep doing it. Yeah,
Maybe you hit it on the head. Maybe they try to tell him something, that's a terrible joke, but it's good. That's it. Montreal Expo is the last, another Expo, another former Expo. They're starting
he came up, yeah.
He got a late start.
Well, I'm going to wrap this up.
Well, not really.
It's getting late. You guys probably have other things to do. Chuck, you got anything else you want to say for tonight?
No, I think we covered a wide spectrum of things, and look forward to doing it again sometime. Appreciate it.
All right. That sounds good. We'd love to have you back.
Great.
Chad, last words?
Last words? There's great optimism in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
They had Pirates Fest was this weekend. They set a record for attendance. So, we'll see what happens.
What's your prediction? 81?
What's my prediction? I don't think they'll break the 500 mark.
Okay. It's an honest
assessment. I think they'll be closer than they have been in years, but I don't think they'll make it this year. I just don't think they're deep enough in their starting pitching.
Now you're forcing me to make one prediction, and I have to say the prediction will be Gavin Floyd will not be the White Sox number 5 starter going on in the league.
He'll be the 4 or 3 or what?
He will not make the rotation, not in my opinion. Might make the pen, but not the rotation.
If Brandon McCarthy wins 16 games for the Rangers.
I'm going to give the number 5 spot to Charlie Hager. City ball game and my personal favorite, the knuckleballer. Not enough knuckleballers around. So.
No, not at all.
I'd like to see him make the rotation. New look.
Okay.
So.
All right, I'm going to close out by giving out the email address. If you have anything you want to comment on, please send us an email. Feedback at baseballzealotradio.com. Please, I would love to hear anything you want to say. Check out the website if you haven't already, www.baseballzealotradio.com. Until next week, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.